This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow. She is traveling. She is in Azerbaijan, in Baku, Azerbaijan. Will report to us momentarily on her trip to the border into what was a conflict zone, Nagorno-Karabakh, along the Azerbaijan-Iranian border, what she saw there and coming back. We're also joined by the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United States, Elin Suleimanov, to comment on the peace process and the road ahead for the Azerbaijan citizens who were dislodged from their homes, their ancestral homes, more than a decade ago and are now looking to return for the rebuilding. Professor, a very good evening to you in Baku. I bring you greetings. I hope to be in Baku soon enough, but your trip to the border is revelatory. Where did you go and what did you see along the way? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, it was an incredible day. I traveled through the Fizuli region, which had been under Armenian occupation, and then to the Jibreel region, which was also under Armenian occupation up until the fall 2020 war. And the Jibreel region is extremely important, both strategically and politically, because it straddles the border with Iran. So essentially, you know, one of the strategic outcomes of this war is that, you know, during the period of occupation, Azerbaijan had a very narrow border with Iran. Now it has a much larger border with Iran. And on both sides of the border, most of the population is ethnic Azerbaijani. So, you know, about a third of the population of Iran is ethnic Azerbaijanis. And I traveled to the Hudafarin Bridge, which is kind of a symbolic bridge similar to the Berlin Wall, kind of a symbol of, as Berlin Wall is a symbol of the separated German nation. This is a, you know, sort of a symbol of a, of the Azerbaijani nation, which is part of Iran and part of the Republic of Azerbaijan. And it was quite an incredible experience.
I just want to check here, Brenda. During the conflict, there was a moment from the Iran side when we saw a line of cars and young people outside the cars waving across this, what looked to be a ravine or canyon, a river in between. On the other side, there was a village or a town, and the Azerbaijan soldiers were moving through the town, and that's what the young people were waving to. Is that where you went during the conflict, that chasm between the two states?
Right, John. I was thinking while I was there, I was exactly thinking of that moment of the hundreds of ethnic Azerbaijanis that, you know, that really risked prison and, you know, came to the river and were cheering on the Azerbaijani soldiers on, you know, on the other side. Actually there were a lot of, you know, sort of citizens on the Iranian side that were there, and they were just, you know, seeing, you know, kind of what looked like a civilian car. They were waving and coming out, and it was quite an emotional experience. And it's very interesting on the Azerbaijani side of the border. There's a big, you know, sort of billboard, but sort of riding on the mountain that says, you know, Onje Vatan, you know, motherland first, meaning appealing sort of to nationalist sentiments. On the Iranian side of the border, there's a huge picture of Imam Khomeini and an Iranian flag, so, you know, more appealing to religious settlements. But exactly, John, is exactly the place that, you know, you described, where the Azerbaijani soldiers were being, you know, encouraged by ethnic Azerbaijanis on the other side. And, you know, it's actually, this war was a real turning point for Iran. If always, let's say, Kurds, Arabs, Baluch, other sort of small minorities in Iran were always quite distant from the regime and, you know, sort of openly contesting the regime, Azerbaijanis were sort of on the fence. But this war really was a turnaround, and I anticipate in the elections this week there'll be a very low turnout, you know, from all the ethnic minorities. And it, you know, was really hard for them to see Iran supporting Armenia in this war, and, you know, all the supplies going to Armenia through Iran. And again, sort of debunking this whole idea that Iran cares about, you know, ethnic brethren in any of these conflicts.
Mr. Ambassador, your comment on the trip to the border, especially on the peace process and the intention to return the Nagorno-Karabakh people to their homeland? Where are we in that process? How closer are we to those houses being reclaimed by their owners?
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you, John. Yes, I think we're moving forward quite well. As Professor Schaefer pointed out, the significant section of the border, which is 132 kilometers, which were under no one's control and in fact occupied by Armenian forces, is now out of the officially guarded border between Iran and Azerbaijan. It's now Azerbaijan restored its control. And it's a very positive example because you could see that now, for instance, the number of incidents when we have drug traffickers or narco trafficking going across the border being stopped has a reason. And there's more catches of this narco traffic is because the border is now controlled and Azerbaijani border guards and customs officials are fully engaged in trying to prevent this kind of unfortunate events. But that aside, of course, the key factor of returning people to the homes, back to the lands which they were expelled from, is clearing those places from mines. Unfortunately, landmines continue to be a significant problem. And I tell you this, Azerbaijan insists on Armenia returning all the maps of the territories they occupied and mined previously. But Armenia refused to do that. In fact, Armenia at some point said that they had no maps. But we're very appreciative of the effort of the State Department and our Georgian neighbors when together they have managed an exchange in which Armenian side presented Azerbaijan with a map of 97,000 landmines in one region, in Ardam. And Prime Minister of Armenia openly confessed that was only a tiny portion of the landmine maps they have. Now, you can imagine the situation. Azerbaijan is trying to rebuild the region. We're putting effort into building houses. We're putting effort into building airports. The road is being constructed. The president of Azerbaijan, President Aliyev, just inaugurated several power stations. And it turns out that Armenians not only mined the place, not only destroyed it, they put 97,000 mines, in one region of Azerbaijan. That is a very unfortunate indication of the difference and divergence of views. Now, as we speak, John, there was a very interesting event, a very important milestone, historic milestone, yesterday in Shusha. You know, Shusha is a very important capital culturally for Azerbaijan. Its significance is only comparable to Jerusalem in the Middle East. And yesterday there was a historic Shusha declaration signed between Azerbaijan and Turkey by President Ilham Aliyev of Azerbaijan and President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey, in which the alliance between Turkey and Azerbaijan has been reinforced and has got some new elements to it. But more importantly, both leaders pointed out that this is not just for Azerbaijan. It's not just for Turkey. What we're looking at is improving relations in the region, opening up corridors, opening up the economic welfare, opening up links and economic projects in which Armenia could be a part, Armenia could participate. And instead of focusing on this rejection and hatred of the neighbors, they could be a part of the success story. But of course, for that, we need to live together, we need to begin working together, we need to trade together. And as a first step, they should give us the maps of the landmines, because it's very difficult to go back. I mean, now it's clearing up, but it takes time.
Yes. Ambassador Elin Suleymanov, the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United States, Professor Brenda Schaefer in Baku, Azerbaijan, after her trip to the border. As the ambassador says, there are mines everywhere. It's a perilous trip that Brenda took, and I'm very glad she's back to report to us about the border now between Azerbaijan and Iran. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.